I want to greet you in a wonderful, mighty, and powerful name of Jesus Christ. I always have said, and I will say this morning again, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, because He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to Father except through Me. And that is the truth, that He died and was risen on the third day. And praise Jesus. For that reason, He is the only way to heaven. Glory to Jesus for that. And I just praise Jesus. And I thank Lord for everything. I just want to say thank you to Brother Tim that he arranged this meeting. And I also like to say thank you to Pastor Steve. And thank you to all of you this morning. And it's a wonderful and good time we will have by the grace of Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to start, with the differences between Islam and Christianity. And as we're going to learn this morning about these two major religions, we're going to be using two books in order to understand Islam and Christianity and Islam. So, if somebody wants to learn about a Christian faith, the best and the basic source is the Holy Bible. Praise Jesus for that. That's the only source where we can find out the truth about the Christian faith. I am not the authority of Christian faith, any pastor, any bishop. They are not the authority of Christian faith, but the Holy Bible is the only authority of Christian faith. And the same principle we can apply for Islam. If somebody wants to learn about Islam, the best and the basic source, the only authority of Islamic faith is the Quran, which is the word of Allah, the God of Islam. And so we're going to learn about these two gods, about these two books, and about these two religions. So let's start with the word Islam. I am still 6:30 time. Yeah, 6:30 in the morning in Colorado. So, let's deal with this first thing. Many of you might have heard through media and even our president said that Islam is the religion of peace and love. But let me explain to you, Islam is an Arabic word meaning submission to Allah and His Prophet Muhammad. It doesn't mean peace or love as we have heard through media, even through Muslim clerics, Muslim professors, Muslim people, and the media, and the president, and other Congress leader and senators. They're telling us it's a religion of peace and love. But let me explain to you, there are 99 names of Allah in the Quran and according to Islamic traditions. But you will not find those names in the Holy Bible. For example, we find the different names of Jehovah God. I always say Bible is the word of Jehovah God in order to send a clear message to the listeners that they will understand that these two gods are different, different. They are not the same. So we're going to be using Bible as the word of Jehovah God and Quran is the word of Allah. So in the Holy Bible, God is love. And also God is a father. But in the Quran, you will not find anywhere that Allah is love or Allah is father. In fact, in the Quran, it is written that if anybody say that Allah has a son, that is an unforgivable sin in Islam. You cannot make a partner to Allah. So if somebody's saying that Allah has sons, so it's making a partner with Allah and making equal to Allah. So Allah cannot have a son. And I remember that was the first surah I memorized. That Allah have no son and no daughter. He have no partner. So it's an unforgivable sin. And if somebody will say that, he will stay in the hell forever. So there's no chances for him to come out. This is what Quran says. So then the word submission to, we were learning. Islam is an Arabic word meaning submission to Allah and His Prophet Muhammad. So when Allah is not Father, when Allah is not love, how come this religion can be a religion of peace and love? But let me take you to the origin of this word Islam. When Muhammad and his followers, they invaded in the different countries and lands and forced them to become Muslim and acknowledge Muhammad as the apostle of Allah. So that's the, from there this word came up that we have invaded those countries and have made those people to submit the authority of Islam. That's, that Islam should, rule in those areas and people should submit themselves to the authority of Islam. So that's the word came, Islam. And Islam is a religion and people following this religion are Muslim. So we will learn about this religion. We're not going to talk about the Muslim people. Why we are learning about this religion this morning? Because our goal is to reach Muslim for Jesus. That's the major reason we are here this morning, because Jesus died for them on the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood for them. And also the purpose of this teaching is not to create any kind of anger or bitterness in your heart toward those people, but give you the true understanding that we will have the true knowledge in order to reach these people. Because Bible says, my people perish lack of knowledge. So we need to understand about this religion in order to reach these Muslim people. And then Islam started with Muhammad, the prophet of Islam. When I'm saying this statement, if you read the Quran is a very strange book, where it is written that the people, those who are before Muhammad. Quran talks about the different personalities, as we have different prophets in the Holy Bible, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Noah, David, Jonah, Joseph, Daniel. And then the Quran does talk about those people. But the funny thing that the Quran says that those people, they were all Muslim. And even Quran says that even Jesus and His followers, His disciples, they were all Muslim. That is the total strange statement. Like the question, how come they can be a Muslim? If you ask this question to a Muslim today, if I want to become a Muslim, what should I do? And they will tell you that you have to say the creed of Islam in order to be a Muslim. And what is the creed of Islam? That there is no God but Allah is the only God and Muhammad is the apostle of Allah. When somebody will say that creed in front of two Muslims, that person will become Muslim. Now, if this is the condition for somebody to be a Muslim, how come those people, those who are before Muhammad, can be Muslim? Because they didn't say the creed of Islam. They didn't acknowledge Muhammad as the apostle of Allah. They didn't acknowledge Allah as their God. How come they can be Muslim? So this condition and the method and the statement of their faith, prove that the statement which is in the Quran is not accurate, it's a false, and because when this statement is a false, so it means this book is a false book. It cannot be a true that those people cannot be a Muslim, and they were not Muslim because Quran started, you know, the Islam started with Muhammad. Muhammad introduced Allah because there were so many gods, in the Arab world before, you know, Muhammad come. Then Muhammad lived in 570 AD in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. You know, when I say Muhammad introduced Allah, you know, there was Allah, but this God Allah was not the way Muslims think today about Allah. You know, Muhammad was born 570 AD in Mecca, Saudi Arabia, and we're going to talk about that more in details later in our sessions. And he died in 632 AD in Medina, Saudi Arabia. The name of the God of Islam is Allah. He is not a Christian God. He's not a God of the Christians. He's not a God of the Bible. He's not a God of the Jews. He's God of Islam. He's God of the Quran. And I will prove it to you because this God of the Quran is not the same God of the Bible. Why? Because he does not speak what we read in the Bible. Then the Muslim means slave or servant of Allah, believers of the Quran and Prophet Muhammad. That's what it means, a slave. The holy book of Muslim people is called the Quran. It was written 610 to 632 AD. And chapters in the Quran are called surahs. These surahs have a different names in Arabic language, but I'm not going to be confusing you with those names in Arabic. So we're going to just use the numbers. For example, surah number 1 or surah number 2, so we'll just use surah in numbers in order to quote those things from the Quran. Beside the Quran, they also have books written by the followers of Muhammad. And it is like, as we have a four Gospels written by the follower of Jesus Christ, those four Gospels, I would say, those are the Word of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes people say, the Gospel of Matthew. That's not a Gospel of Matthew, written by Matthew, but that's the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen to that? So same way we can see here in the Muslim religion, Islamic religion, they have a hadith. And that is the word of Muhammad. And it explained the Quran. If somebody really wants to understand Quran, they need to be reading the hadith. And hadith explains, many things. Like, for example, Quran says Muslims should pray. But how Muslims should pray? Where they can get the method to pray? The hadith explains how they should pray. All those things, are explained in the hadith. What kind of food they have to, eat. How they have to dress. All those things you will find in the hadith. Once again, I'd like to say that the purpose of this teaching is not to create any kind of anger or bitterness toward the Muslim people, but give you the true understanding that they need Jesus. Amen. The next thing we're going to learn, I have learned this acronym, through some of my friends, and I like it, and that's my heart too, that the word Islam, like I for I, S for sincerely, L for love, A for all, and M for Muslim. I sincerely love all Muslim, and my sincere and true love is this, that they will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That is the true love. If we really love somebody, we need to be sharing the love of Jesus Christ with them and tell them that He died for you on the cross and He shed His blood for you, and there is only one way to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. When you will accept Him as your Lord, a Master, a King, and Savior, He will save your life. Amen. So the next thing we're going to learn about the salvation in Islam. Is there salvation in Islam? Muslims do not know if they will go to heaven or not. If you ask this question to a Muslim, if you die today, what will happen to you? Will you go to heaven or not? They will tell you, we don't know what's going to happen to me. That's the most important question, you know, everybody need to ask, you know, ask themselves, you know, where I am going after death. There's a life after death. And where I'm going to spend my eternity. There are only two places after this life. Heaven, only through Jesus Christ. And if you reject Jesus, the second place is called hell. You know, one day I was preaching in a church, and later I was told, the little girl, she told that, oh, pastor was using a swear word in his preaching. And I asked the pastor, you know, what was that swear word I used in my preaching? And, oh, he said, you used the word hell. I said, that's not a swear word. It's written in the Bible. Because most people over here, you know, they use those kind of words in a bad tone and a bad way. So, but I want to tell you, if you think that that is a bad word, if you will be there, that is a real bad. And I remember that one time I got the call from one church, and the secretary of the church, oh, she said, no, pastor, we'd like to have you to come and speak in our church. But when you come, please don't talk about hell thing. You know, because this is a very depressing, you know, topic. I said, my dear sister, we should talk about that right now. You know, if somebody end up over there, what will happen? So better, you know, we better, you know, talk about this and make sure that where we're going to go. So here, Muslim, they have no clue what's going to happen to them after death. You know, this is what Muhammad said in one of the hadith, told by one of the follower of Muhammad, Abu Huraira. He says, Allah's messenger, peace be upon him, they always like to say when they quote Muhammad, when they use the name Muhammad, they like to say, peace be upon him. And I always wonder why they use that, you know, peace be upon him. And I have come to this conclusion that he really need peace. You know, because here, Jesus, we don't use that word for Jesus because he is the Prince of Peace. Amen. So, Allah's Messenger, he said, there were two men among the Banu Israel who loved each other, one of whom engaged ardently in worship while the other called himself a sinner. To the sinner, now they both died and they were brought before Allah. To the sinner, he said, enter paradise by my mercy. And to the other, he said, can you forbid my mercy to my servant? He replied, no, my Lord. Then he said, take him away to hell. So, he's trying to tell that it does not depend on your good works or in your worship of Allah, but it depends on Allah's mood. You know, if he is happy, he will take you to paradise. If he's not happy with you, he'll send you to hellfire. So here, Hadith Bukhari explained this. Sahih al-Bukhari. Sahih means accurate, authentic. Volume 4, Book 55, verse number 549. Quote, so a man may do deeds characteristic of the people of the hellfire so much so that there's only a distance of cubit between him and hell and enter paradise. Similarly, a person may do deeds characteristic of people of paradise so much so there's only a distance of a cubit between him and paradise and enter the hellfire. So it depends on Allah's mood. If Allah chooses for somebody to be in paradise, he will be in paradise. If Allah chooses for somebody to be in hellfire, he will be in hellfire. So there's no complete permanent teaching about salvation in Islam. There are some verses in the Quran. In the first place, everybody will go to hell. But what will happen later? They will spend some time in the hell, and then they will be taken out by, Allah is going to replace Jews and Christians on their place in the hell. So they will be exchanged with the Jews and Christians. And then there's also, some kind of teaching in the Quran that they will spend some time in the hell, as many sins they have done, so they will spend some time in the hell and then they will be taken out. So they will be punished for a while. And then there's another kind of teaching. If you will say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you have no chances for to come out of that hell. So you will stay there permanently. So there's no complete or permanent teaching about salvation, and there's no absolutes in Islam. There's no absolute sin in Islam, and there's no absolute hell in Islam. So this is very strange teaching. Then according to the hadith, Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 5, verse number 266, quote, Muhammad said, "By Allah, though I'm the apostle of Allah, yet I do not know what Allah will do to me." End of quote. If you talk with the Muslim, they will tell you. A couple weeks ago, I was teaching in the University of Missoula, Montana. And a lot of Muslims came in my meeting. And after I talked with them, they said that, when Muhammad was alive, he promised to the 10 of his followers that they will go to paradise. Now, we have a question here. How come Muhammad can give a hope, a promise to his followers when he himself was not sure about his own salvation? When he didn't know what's going to happen to him after death. But on the other hand, you can see Jesus. He said, "Let your heart not be troubled. If you believe in God, believe in me. I am going to the Father. And, there are many rooms, a big place for you guys. I'm going to prepare a room for you. And then I will come and I'll take you over there where I am." And he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus made it very clear. Number one, he knew where he is going, what's going to happen to him. And he told to Pilate that, "I will sit on the right hand of the Almighty God." He is in the heaven. Praise Jesus for that. But Muhammad, he didn't know what's going to happen to him. And then how come Muhammad can give a hope to other people? How come Muhammad can make a promise to his followers, as those Saudis were telling me, when they were telling, in the talk I had there, I said, how come Muhammad can make a promise that contradicts what Muhammad is saying in this hadith? So there's no hope for a Muslim after this life. Then Surah 2 verse 286. I'm going to quote from the Quran. "Allah burden not a person beyond his scope. He gets reward for that good which he has earned, and he is punished for that evil which he has earned." Now, Muslims believe that every person is ordained, Allah have ordained two angels, appointed two angels for him. One is on the right shoulder, other one is on the left shoulder. And what they're doing? They're writing the books. The one is writing a good book, and the other one is writing the bad book of that person. So what's going to happen? On the day of judgment, you know, Allah is going to give a big scale to Angel Gabriel, according to the Hadith, and He's going to put those two books. Their works are going to be weighed in those two books. And if your good works are heavier than the bad deeds, the bad works, the bad book, you will go to paradise. And if your bad works are bad book is heavier than the good book, you will go to hellfire. But Bible says everyone sinned and fallen short from the glory of God. And we can, you know, understand now how many good things that we are doing and how many bad things we are doing. And even Bible says our righteousness before Almighty God is like a filthy rags. We cannot please God with our good works. You know, I was just thinking that God is a holy God, and He said that if anybody will see me, he will be dead. And in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, even the angels, you know, they covered their faces before Almighty God. He is holy. Even the angels are holy, but they cannot even reach the standard of the holiness of Jehovah God. Praise Jesus. You know, it's amazing. It's so powerful. It's beyond our you know, human understanding that how we can go in the presence of Jehovah God through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the blood of Jesus Christ who cleanses us from all of our sins. Praise Jesus. Otherwise, there is no way that we can enter in God's presence. No way. But the blood of Jesus enables us, you know, to be righteous before God Almighty. So here, their salvation is based on works. You do good works. You feed the poor, hungry people, you know, Allah will be pleased. But not, there's no assurance of salvation. Then the next thing. When Muhammad was about to die, he invited his followers, his relatives, according to this hadith, Sahih Muslim, volume 1, chapter 86-87, Book of Faith, page 136 or 137, hadith number 398 to the 402. Muhammad told his relative that he is not able to save them from the day of judgment and the fire of hell. He also told his most beloved daughter Fatima that he is not able to save her from the day of judgment and hell fire. Now how come Muhammad can give any hope to the Muslim today when he didn't give any hope to his most beloved daughter Fatima? He told her very clear that I am not able to save you from the day of judgment. You can have a claim on my property. You will have my property, you will have my things, but I'm not able to save you from the day of judgment. It's very, very clear that there's no salvation and no hope in Islam after this life. And then, you know, Bible says, amazing thing, John chapter 20 verse 31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Glory to Jesus for that. It's so powerful, you know, that we can have the eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said. I have come that you may have life, life in abundance. And He also told, you know, Mary and Martha that, you know, if you will believe in me, you will not die. You will have eternal life. And John 3:16, that's a, you know, again, a great assurance of our salvation. Praise Jesus for that. And then the next thing, Islam, as we are talking about salvation in Islam, their salvation is based on works. This is the way they think. This is the way they hope for. Number one, they believe that they have to do these rituals. They have to do these, the pillars of Islam. Number one is called the creed. They have to say the creed of Islam over and over in their prayers. They also believe when they will say that creed of Islam, like their 20 sins are going to be deleted when they will say that creed. And especially in the month of Ramadan, when they do the rosary, you know, they like to say the creed of Islam on every bead. And when they're saying that, you know, they're getting credits and rewards from Allah, and they're deleting their sins. This is the way they do. And as I mentioned, that in order to be a Muslim, somebody has to say that creed in order to be a Muslim in front of two Muslims, so that person will become a Muslim right away. And I know there's a, you know, joke we share in Pakistan about the northern part of in Pakistan. The people in Pakistan, the northern part of Pakistan, they are very militant, fundamentalist. They want to, you know, preach Islam, and they want to convert people on the gunpoint. So what happened? This one militant Muslim, he was in the mosque, and the Muslim priest, you know, telling that, you know, you should go and make everybody Muslim. How you can make everybody Muslim? Tell them to say the creed of Islam. And when they will say the creed of Islam, they will become Muslim. So now, this guy, like a Taliban, he took his AK-47, he went to Ganji River, and here he saw a Hindu taking a ceremonial shower in the Ganji River. And he pointed a gun on him and told him to become Muslim. He said, I'm not going to become Muslim, I'm a Hindu. He said, if you will not become Muslim, I'm going to shoot you. And the Hindu guy said, okay, tell me how I can become a Muslim. He said, you have to say the creed of Islam. He said, you know, that's very difficult. I don't want to say that. You know, I don't want to become Muslim. He said, you have to say the creed of Islam. He said, okay, tell me what is the creed. He said, I don't know either. You know. So this is the way some Muslims are like that, you know, in the northern part of Pakistan. Then number two, five prayers a day. Every Muslim should say five prayers a day facing toward Mecca, Saudi Arabia. But before they will pray, they need to do, you know, washing. Washing their hands and feet. Right, you know, right hand three times, you know, left hand three times. Let the water run, you know, up to their elbows. And the same way, you know, right foot three times, left foot three times. Washing their face and, you know, rinsing their mouth and, you know, blowing their nose and cleaning their nose with the, you know, the small finger, and the same thing with the, you know, the ears. They have a different, you know, beliefs about that, that what happens in the night time, Satan sleep in their nose, so when they get up in the morning, they need to be blowing their nose. And if they don't get up early in the morning, what's going to happen, then the Satan will be urinating in their ears, and that's a hadith. So they have to get up early in the morning in order to avoid that, you know, mishap of Satan urinating into their ears. So then when they pray, they have to face toward Mecca, Saudi Arabia, and their prayers are not like our prayers. We pray out of our hearts. When we pray, we, you know, have a fellowship and the relationship with Jehovah God through His Son Jesus Christ. But their prayers are not like our prayers. They're repeating the same thing over and over. Most of the time they're repeating the Surah 1, Chapter 1 in the Quran, from the Quran. They're repeating the same thing. For example, you know, when a Muslim child, when he is a 5 years old, when, you know, when he, you know, memorized that chapter, and he, you know, and when he will be 85 years old, he will be repeating the same prayer. There'll be no change. And they have to pray in Arabic language. They cannot pray in English or Urdu or in any other language. And one day I was wondering, why they have to pray only in Arabic? And then I came to this conclusion, man, that Allah only knows Arabic. He doesn't know English. Because he was, he is from Saudi Arabia. So he only knows the Arabic language. Then number three, 30-day fast. Every Muslim should fast for 30 days. Oh, what time we have to stop? So let me know. Okay. Every Muslim have to fast for 30 days. And their fasting start before the sun rise, and they fasting end when the sun set. And during that time, they don't eat and drink and have no relationship with their wives. And especially in the Muslim countries, it's very, very tough to fast. And they live in those countries, if you're a Christian, you know what happens? They will close down every restaurant and every food place. And if you will be found with the food in a public place, they will arrest you if you're a Christian, and eating food in the month of Ramadan. But as the sun goes down, it'll start all over. You know, the restaurants will be open and you can eat whole night if you choose to. I have noticed, and this is a very common joke in Pakistan, that in the month of Ramadan, instead of losing weight, they gain weight. Because they, what happened? You don't eat the whole day, but as the sun goes down, and you eat all the fat foods, and keep on eating till the sun rise. So this is what happened. Then number four is called arm. Every Muslim should pay 2.5% out of the gross income to promote Islam, help the poor and widows, and they also spend that money for those people, those who are fighting for the cause of Allah. They call them mujahideen, holy warriors, freedom fighters, but we call them terrorists. So every Muslim, give money toward that cause, for that cause, to promote Islam, spread Islam, and for those people, those who are fighting for the cause of Islam. So in other words, every Muslim is a part of terrorism. Not directly, but indirectly by providing the funds to the mosque, and the mosque is responsible for giving those funds toward those people, those who are fighting for the cause of Islam. And there's a book written by Paul Sperry. It's called Infiltration. You can go online, Amazon.com, and you can get that book. And he mentioned in that book that every mosque in the United States and all the Muslims in the United States and around the world, they are part of terrorism because they, when they give alms, or zakat, it's called zakat in Arabic, when they give that, so they become a part of that terrorism. Number five is called pilgrimage. If a Muslim afford to go to Mecca, Saudi Arabia, they should go and, visit that shrine called Kaaba. They have different beliefs about that shrine. They say it was built by Abraham and his son, Ishmael. And that was the place where Abraham took his son Ishmael to be sacrificed. Now the Bible says Abraham took his son Isaac to be sacrificed on the Mount Moriah. It happened in the land of Israel. It didn't happen in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. And Bible says Abraham never ever lived in Saudi Arabia. How come he can build that shrine? And if you measure the distance from the place where Abraham was living and Mecca, it will take him 3 months on a camel ride to go in Mecca, Saudi Arabia, where he was living. But Bible says it took him only 3 days to take his son Isaac on the Mount Moriah. Not 3 months, not in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. It was not Ishmael, because when God told Abraham to take his son Isaac to be sacrificed, And you know, Ishmael was gone from his home. Ishmael was no more there. So how come, you know, Ishmael can be a part of this sacrifice deal? Then they say when Abraham and Ishmael, they were building this shrine called Kaaba, the angel Gabriel was the one who gave this stone to Ishmael. And when angel Gabriel gave him this stone, according to the book, Why I'm Not Muslim by Ibn Work, he explained in his book, he said that, you know, it was told, according to Islamic tradition, that stone was the white stone when angel Gabriel gave that stone to Ishmael. But now, why it is the black? What happened? It was the tradition that when you go in Mecca, Saudi Arabia, you know, when you're going for that pilgrimage, you always kiss that stone. And now, by kissing that stone, all the sins of these Muslims have been transferred into that white stone, and because of those sins, it have changed the color, and now it has become black because of the sins. And one day I was thinking, man, they should change this. You know, they should have put a white stone, because when our filters in the refrigerator goes bad, and we always like to change the filters. So no, it is black. It's no more good. It's not really doing the job it's supposed to be. So this is you know, one of the deal. They think that they have to go and circle around that black stone seven times. Because this is the way Muhammad, you know, used to do in the month of Ramadan. So he did. This is what Muslims are doing, if they can afford to go to Mecca, Saudi Arabia. So they do all these rituals, but once again, they have no assurance of their salvation. They don't know what's going to happen to them after death. But there's something which gives them guarantee. If you will die in the holy war, jihad, you will go to paradise. According to Surah 3, verse 157 or 158. Quote, if you are killed or die in the way of Allah, forgiveness and mercy from Allah are far better than all that they amass, a worldly wealth. And whether you die or killed, verily unto Allah you shall be gathered. So this gives them guarantee that they will go to paradise. They will go to heaven by dying in the way of Allah. And their sins are going to be forgiven, you know, because of their shed blood. And here, what is the difference between martyrs of different religions? Let's talk about the Christian faith. You know, in the Christian faith, John chapter 15 verse 13 says, the greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And according to 1 John chapter 3 verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we are to lay down our lives for our brothers. This is the true martyrdom. You know, that Jesus set example, that he became a martyr for us. He laid down his life for us in order to save our lives. And here he tells us that this is the way, you know, as you know, I set example in order to save people. I am sending you like a sheep among the wolves. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be killed for the cause of the gospel. You know, as you will go out and preach the gospel, people not going to like you. They will kill you. But you should stop. No. You have to spread this love of Jesus Christ, my love, through shedding your blood. But what is happening in the religion of Islam? They're blowing themselves. Because they love other people? No. They hate other people, and for that purpose, you know, they're blowing themselves and killing other people. So we will stop here for a break. and then we will, continue on this session. Thank you.